This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
One, looking forward to talking to Daryl. And Andy, we have a special guest joining us in the noon hour.
We're going to steal some secrets today. We're stealing secrets.
From?
Jim Rooney of the Rooney family from the Steelers. He's got a book out. I don't know if you know this or not, but Jim went to high school here in Northeast Ohio.
The Rooneys of the Pittsburgh Steelers sent their kid to Cleveland for high school?
Yes. Yes, they did.
We'll
explain that a little bit later, too. So, okay. I mean, there really is. And from what I've heard, he's got, you know, we talked about, he's got a new book out. And there's a lot in there about the connection between the Browns and the Steelers. The book is about his dad. And it's called A Different Way to Win, Dan Rooney's story from the Super Bowl to the Rooney Rule. But there's a lot about the Browns in there. So, I don't know, maybe we could just steal some ideas from them on, you know, maybe the Browns could be listening and steal some ideas about how to get a franchise turned around.
Because they had
to turn around that franchise when, I can't remember the first year they got it, but when the Steelers were early in their existence,
they were awful. They were not good.
Andy,
they weren't good until they hired Clevelander, Chuck Knoll. You hired Chuck Knoll as head coach, Benedictine grad.
See, it's all Cleveland.
Former Brown. And he turns it around and gets it going. And from that point on, it's been a stellar organization. And I think that's, it's real clear on the timeline that that's when it all started.
Oh, you asked him?
And they were really good.
The one reason?
No.
You want to ask him about that?
No.
Do you want to explain?
No. You've been hung up on that since I brought it up 11 years ago.
I never realized what it was and that you just absolutely 100% shed the light on why the Steelers are good. Why not? Tell everyone. Come on, Jeff.
When they traded Bill Nelson to the Browns, they got Dick Shiner from the Browns, and he wasn't good at quarterback, so they drafted Terry Bradshaw.
So if the Steelers wouldn't have had Dick Shiner, they would have never drafted Terry Bradshaw.
And if he had been any good.
Oh, man.
What do you want to see from the Browns the last seven games? And I know that sounds a little open-ended here, but I think I'm going to go real specific with it in a number of areas. 216-474-0092. Your thoughts are coming up on this. The Browns are 2-8. The Steelers are 8-2. If anything, Andy, I think if you would have thrown out what team in the AFC North might be in for a really bad year and go 2-8. Man, you might have picked the Steelers. And instead, they're sitting there at 8-2. You know, they didn't have a quarterback. They got rid of Kenny Pickett. They brought in Russell Wilson, who people thought was done. They bring in Justin Fields, who people thought couldn't play because he went to Chicago. He did a nice job. And then Tomlin makes the move with Russell Wilson. They look even better. They're 8-2, and the Browns are 2-8.
And took heat for it.
Oh, it took incredible heat. I think he made the right move. I was expecting him to, and he did. The Browns are 2-8. The most important thing I want to see in the final seven games is this.
Okay.
How do they respond to being 2-8? How do they respond to that? Now, what do I mean by that? I mean this. I think we will all agree there were moments in the game against New Orleans last week where you thought, this is pretty good, but man, they just don't look like they're really sharp. And then late in the game, you could make a real strong argument that they quit playing. Now, I don't think they quit and just stopped playing and quit on Kevin Stefanski. But I thought, this doesn't look like what we've usually seen. The one thing I've always thought is, regardless of what you think about Kevin or anything else, I've always thought the team played really hard for him. Always. And that doubt crept into my mind watching the game in New Orleans, especially late. So I want to see how they respond, Andy. And you know I'm a big proponent of Kevin. I think he's a good coach. I hope he's here long term.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't respond well, and they play like they did in the fourth quarter against New Orleans repeatedly down the stretch, that's not good. It's not good for Kevin. It's not good for Andrew Berry. And I think it will lead to changes.
All right, so I'm watching to see where the fingers get pointed at the end of the season. Okay. Really, that's what's left. And I want to see... I mean, I always want to watch Myles Garrett play. I do. And I want to watch Nick Chubb play. The offensive line has been so beat up this year. It's just, you know, I hope for health for these guys down the road, and I want to see if they can stay healthy and that they can try to maintain some a little bit of the stability that we've seen over the last couple of weeks. And I think because of Jameis Winston and a little bit of health, that they've looked a little bit better the last couple weeks. I need to see this offense get over 20 points. You know, the unfortunate part was what would happen tonight is, let's see they get to 21 and lose 22-21, right? They'll get over 20, so we can't talk about that. And then they end up, you know, losing. And I just don't want to see that happen. I know that there really aren't any advantages to this team winning right now, right? If the draft was today, I think we have the number two pick. So, I mean, when I'm watching to see what happens, I want to see how this all unfolds at the end of the year, and I want to see who ultimately takes responsibility for it. I wanted to say that there could be praise if something crazy happened, but this season went so sideways so fast, and it's painful to watch this because I think that we all thought that the records of these two teams coming into here tonight, Jeff, is like you said, we thought they'd be reversed by this game.
If anything, I mean, I never thought that either one of those teams would be 8-2, and I never thought that either one would be 2-8. And here you are with one of them at 8-2 and one at 2-8. What do you want to see over the final seven games, folks? Andy mentioned a specific about Nick Chubb. I've got some offensive thoughts coming up. Sean's in Houston, Texas. Sean.
Hey, Sean.
There's no point in winning right now, and I don't want to be...
Well, I can't, but I can't tell a player there's no point in winning. That's the hard part.
Well,
or a coach.
Well, obviously, I'm just looking at it from a fan perspective, right? From being a fan, and if you're, like, you don't ever want anybody to go out there and play soft and not play well.
So you get hurt.
Going it up from my standpoint is, look, like, if you're a championship caliber team, which we thought we were, our entire offseason was spent on filling gaps and holles with C+, B- players and guys that used to be great players that are on the wrong side of 30. And so for me, blowing it up this year or next year, whatever it is saying, look, we got young guys, play them in. I don't care about a 32-year-old D tackle. I don't care about Hicks. I don't care about people that aren't going to be here 3 years from now. We have fourth rounders, third rounders, fifth rounders, sixth rounders, put them in, play them more. I don't think it's losing. I just think it's, what do we have? What is it? Like, you look at Tillman, right? If we were winning, he wouldn't be doing what he is right now. We wouldn't have traded Cooper if we were, like, 8 wins right now. So at the end of the day, I don't want to blow it up, but we're not doing anything. Let's see what we have so we know what we need to draft and what we need to put investments in the next year or two, because I don't want to go out there and see these dudes that aren't going to be here that are one-year deals because we thought we were going to be a championship. And we don't have anybody to trade. Nobody's going to trade Njoku. Njoku has 2 years left. His entire shtick is on athleticism because he drops the ball 6 to 8 times a year. So I just want to know what we have, so what we need to do to be good and what we need to invest in. And then Denzel Ward, I love the guy. I mean, is he really going to be on the field 8 to 10 times a year in the next 2 years each year? I mean, just I love him. He's one of my favorite players. Trade him. Keep Garrett. Keep Chubb on a low deal just to be here because he's Chubb. Culturally, but let's get a out loud veteran that's a freaking leader, because Garrett is a leader on the field. Chubb's a leader on the field, but we don't have anybody that goes out there in the huddle that, from what I'm hearing, what I've heard from you guys and people that come on, who's the guy that, if we're down, the coach can't do it every time? Who's the on-the-field guy that goes and smacks somebody and says, let's get your stuff together? We don't have that, from what I've heard.
Sean, let me ask you one thought. And you said winning doesn't do you any good. If you don't win, if you're the coach, you're probably not here.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Don't you think? To me, that's why you win. The coach needs to show, and I think you need to keep the coach. Unless he's been given assurances from, you know, management, ownership, that you're here, so play the young guys and let's see it. They're going to play to win.
I don't think you can fire him after. And I'm not happy right now. I don't think anybody that even has a little bit of orange pride in them is going to, you know, like, be happy. But really fire a guy after going through three quarterbacks this year and just going and trading certain people and just, in my mind, it's, hey, just get the trash out, start all over, and see if you can come in and re-energize it next year. And you'll know within the first 5 games next year if you made a mistake. But
all right, Sean, thank you very much. Good thoughts. Eric is in Richfield. Eric.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey.
Yeah, I started thinking about it. What if Stefanski was forced to get rid of AVP and Stump and forced to give up the play calling? Maybe he quit. I haven't heard anybody saying that.
Yeah.
You know, that's a possibility.
Eric, that didn't happen. I can guarantee you, I've never heard of a head coach quitting and just phoning it in. Why? They probably want to be employed.
Yeah, I mean, they want to be with another team.
And it's a terrible look, even if you want to move on to another team, that's a terrible look. He's got a contract extension. He's not going anywhere. I've never heard of that, and I wouldn't expect that to happen. What do you want to see, folks? What do you want to see? Again, I said, I want to see just how they respond to being 2-8. And if they respond like they did against New Orleans, that's a bad look for everybody in the organization. I have some thoughts about what I want to see on offense. You might be surprised at these. And they're next on Baskin and Phelps.